And Father, we know that your word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it has the ability to divide asunder soul and spirit. Dear sir, I ask that you anoint the ears of the hearers today and anoint the lips of the speaker so that between the two we can have a distinction in Jesus' name. Amen. This weekend, Lindsay and I, we had a tragic up north in one of our relatives, and so Sue and her and her sister, Georgia, had to go up north. And now they're faced with a death in the family. It's a relative, but it was close to us. So I had a chance to be with little Lindsay this weekend. And as we were fellowshipping together, we went out to Eatonville to visit my son, Tim, and his wife. I just felt this uneasiness, this real weird feeling like something was going to happen. And just felt that I had to pray. And so I did on the way home. And even though Lindsay was talking to me, I was in that spirit of prayer. I couldn't figure out what it was. And we got on Reed Drive. And I don't know if any of you have been on Reed Drive, which is out where I live in Gig Harbor. But we noticed as we came up on this approach that there was multiple police cars all over the road. And one of the young men, at least I was kind of familiar with two of them that had these race bikes. You know, these bikes, you can't sit up on them like a Harley hog and hang your... But it's kind of the ones you bend down and... years ago, they constructed a housing area there and they put this road at the base of this hill. So here's the road, comes down like this, and here's Reed Drive, and there's a hill right here. And as they gave him permission to put that road in, I got to thinking, whoever did that planning is stupid, is an idiot. Because if you went over that hill, then as you're going down the hill where that road is, where people pull out, you would be all right. You would have time to stop, providing you're not speeding. But if you were speeding, there's no way. And Gary, you're kind of familiar with Reed Drive, aren't you? You know which one I'm talking about? That particular road loops around and has a... Well, the road comes out right at the base of this hill on Reed Drive. And I know you're... Not the dead man's curve, but this... Well, when they were having permission to put that road in, I thought, well, they're doing that at the expense of somebody's life. Because eventually someone will come along Reed Drive at a high rate of speed and come up over that hill. There's no way they can stop if a car is pulling out. Well, that's what happened. This kid was on this motorbike traveling at a high rate of speed, came up over the hill, and here's a young kid, which Lindsay was familiar with, pulling out in his vehicle, and this kid hit the side of his vehicle so hard it tore his bike in half and killed him. He flipped over into a ditch, and it was a mess. So Lindsay and I, we had to go a different route to get into our home. And when we got there, I decided I'd like to go back down and see, you know, see if there was a fatality, because I didn't hear an ambulance come with its siren or anything. Usually, if that's the case, it's pretty much a fatality, because they don't, they take their time getting there. And so Lindsay and I walked up, and sure enough, it was confirmed that this particular young man was killed. And as we're going back, Lindsay says, Dad, what if he's not born again? What will happen? I said, well, instantly, his spirit will return to God in judgment. And that's what that means over there in Ecclesiastics, whether people realize that or not. When it says, and the spirit returns to God, people who believe in once saved, always saved use that verse very strongly, that their spirit goes to God, but their soul goes to hell. There's some people that believe that. And that's insanity, but there are some people that believe that, because your soul and spirit are eternally connected. I mean, that is you. And then she got on the other subject of... we got talking about being instantly separated from your physical body, and she got on to this kick of really putting the pressure on me. I didn't know how to answer. She said, what about Christians that are born again and yet never lived the life? And then they die. Do they go to heaven? And I don't know how to assimilate that in my thinking, you know, because I don't want my daughter to think that she's once saved, always saved. But on the other hand, you don't want your daughter to believe that they could lose their salvation just like that. Are you guys following what I'm saying? Now, we're talking about the glory of God. What is the New Testament glory? New Testament glory is not like Old Testament glory. Old Testament glory was God's presence. New Testament glory is God in us through the new birth, the power of the new birth. And so the ability to judge whether one will make it to heaven or not that lived out their salvation through the power of their soul, it's very hard to make a distinction who made it and who didn't when they get born again and they seemingly live the rest of their life out through their flesh. Because it's very hard to determine, now, can that person be saved or not? Why? Because spirituality is different than that which is natural. And this is where church history has brought such a confusion to the body of Christ, because church history thinks it knows what spirituality is, but really doesn't. You know, I didn't understand what Paul meant until about 5 years ago when I plugged in that cassette tape of Dave Roberson. When I hit that cassette tape and the information of the new birth, all that God has made in us, that glory in us, he made a distinction to that, to where, pow, I meant something hit me. It was really weird. Something hit me that I knew in a second of what I was in Christ that I'd never known before. Matter of fact, I got pretty angry about it because I was raised under mentors that never made that distinction to me. And I wondered why. Well, I found out it's because they didn't have the revelation. They had the statement, the new birth, but it's like they take this new birth and stick it somewhere and put the emphasis on the Holy Ghost. And you find it all the time in men's preaching on television. They get into some good principles. They give you some good information. They turn around and say, thank God I can do this because of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that you can't do anything in God because of the Holy Ghost? You can do everything in God according to what the Holy Ghost can do in you, in your spirit. See, what people don't understand is when you get born again, that new birth is what God did. He got you born again, you say. Now, before God, you're responsible for that new birth. Are you following me? But God is not responsible for your soul. You are. God took you and birthed you to a place in him that's his responsibility. And then God put a guarantee that anything that comes out of your spirit will be right. But anything that comes out of your soul could be wrong. That's why the soul has to be saved daily by the Word of God. Why? Because daily the soul has a voice. And your personality, your soul, the person that you are, that you were conceived in this natural realm and came into being, that soul of yours did not come into being because it wasn't housed in the flesh. It was housed in the spiritual body. And yet Christians don't see that. You know, a friend of mine, after a seminar that we held here for RMAI, we got up in my office. And he said, man, a lot of what you were saying just flying over my head. And you know what I'm sharing with you today? Many pastors don't have this revelation, what I'm about to share with you. But as we were in my office, he began to really argue with me concerning ministries. And here's what brought the argument on. He has a particular pastor or mentor that he follows. And he confronted me and said, why don't I ever listen to his tapes? Why don't I follow him? Do I have an attitude with him? You know, that's what he was trying to push me in the corner. And I said, no, I don't have an attitude with him. Well, why don't you listen to his tapes? Why don't you get into his preaching and stuff? And I says, well, I says, do you want me to just be honest? And he said, no, I want you to lie to me. And I says, well, he doesn't have the ability to develop me spiritually. You should have seen the shocked look on his face. Because you know what I just told him? If you follow him, you're not spiritual. That's what I told him. Without telling him that. And he says, well, how can you make that assumption? And I says, simply by listening to what he says. And he says, what do you... Well, because right away he wanted to know what he was saying wrong. Why? Because what he was saying, that minister, he was receiving. And he says, well, what's wrong with his doctrine? I says, there's nothing wrong with his doctrine. Well, then how can you say you can't get received from him? I says, listen, he's preaching words out of his soul, not his spirit. And his mentor is not the Holy Ghost. It's the glory of men. There is a difference. And he goes, well, what's the difference? Then you know what he did? He started comparing that minister's ministry with the minister I was listening to's ministry. He was comparing ministry to ministry. And I said, you know, the Bible, according to 2 Corinthians 9, or 10, I think it's 10, the end of 9 and into 10, I said, can I share something with you? I said, men that compare themselves with men are not wise. And I says, I want to tell you right now, spirituality is not popular. And he says, well, what do you mean? I'm spiritual. And I says, are you? And he was hot. He was mad because I was indicating to him, he's not spiritual. And I didn't want to do that. But I had to be truthful. But I'm so kind sometimes with certain pastors that other pastors follow. I want to just be kind. But I wouldn't listen to their messages. Matter of fact, the more light they have without the understanding of the new birth, the more dangerous they become. You know, I have this issue with my daughter at her school. I would like the teachers to leave certain issues alone that would attack my daughter spiritually. And they've been doing that with some issues. Now they're going to the issue of tongues. Now I have to go to the school and sit down and I have to correct some issues that they need to look at their other pastors. It's one thing for you to teach your children things that are adaptable to natural. But when you yourself is bound up in a denomination, you should stay away from spiritual issues that we might not agree with. Why? Because then you override that which is natural. You go to the heart of a person, and denominationalism will kill the spirit of Christ, quicken you. Now, what does the scriptures mean that when he got you born again, your life is not your own, it belongs to God? What does those verses mean there? For your life is not your own. What does that mean? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7. What are those passages referring to? Your life is not your own. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 6. Paul, you got to remember his verses as he's writing them. He's writing to a spiritual organization that was flesh. Matter of fact, the book of 1 Corinthians is milk. And I can't preach some of these passages to pastors because they don't know what I'm talking about. And Paul declared his information in the book of 1 Corinthians is milk. Now, I'm trying to bring an awareness to you about the glory of God. The glory of God, literally, is Christ in you. Not his presence on the outside of you, but his presence formed on the inside of you. Are you following me? And the greatest enemy to your spirituality is your soul. How you think. That is your greatest enemy. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he says, where you've got to begin is you've got to make your body a living sacrifice. It's kind of like a paradox. How can you sacrifice something and keep it alive? Well, you can't sacrifice your body by killing it so you are spiritual, or you wouldn't be here any longer. Body, ground, spirit, heaven. You following me? So when he said he was forming a paradox there, he wasn't referring to two doctors. A paradox, you know. But he was giving you a statement of what's natural, but it has a spiritual understanding to it. And what it is that if you want to be spiritual, you will suffer in the natural. You know, I love our Sunday school program. You guys love it?
Yeah.
It gives us a chance to really get into the meat of things. But some parents have their children here in the congregation. And I have the freedom to get into things I want to get into. But what if that goes over these little guys' heads? It's all right. Because they're going to hear with their ear, and there will be certain statements that the Holy Ghost will quicken to them, even though they don't understand what I'm thinking about. When they get older, those little kids will go, you know, I heard the pastor say a long time ago, you know, and start associating. And I want you to realize, it's good to have these little kids in here.
Amen.
It means I have to be a little more careful how I say certain things, you know. But I can handle that, I think. Anyway. But what makes a person spiritual? Well, number one, spirituality comes by a higher revelation. Because in 2 Peter chapter 1, when you start reading all those verses, add to your faith this and add to this strength and virtue and all, Peter is coming from a direction that a lot of people don't pick up. He's coming from the direction of how you feed your spiritual man. Not how to feed your outer man. Your outer man has a future to it. It's called death. Why? Because sin operates through the physical man. Sin operates through the physical man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 here, I want us to look at some verses that are very interesting. Because I want to bring out an understanding to you what it means your life is not your own. A lot of Christians don't understand what that means. Notice what he says at verse 13. Meats for the belly, and belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Very interesting. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now notice this. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is outside. In the Greek, it's outside the body. Isn't that interesting? Outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Isn't that interesting? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The temple of the Holy Ghost, actually, which is, should not be there. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Now, semicolon, And the last half of this verse has been terribly mistranslated. Follow me closely. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Wrong. Here's how it should have been translated. This is how it was originally written. For you are bought with a price. Glorify then God in the body of you. In the body of you. Because it has an article. In the body of you. That's all it says. It doesn't say, and in your spirit, which are God's. Because the indication is not focused on the issue of the spirit. It's focused on the issue of what you're going to do with your physical body. Now, here's something that's very interesting. Notice what he says here. Flee fornication, for every sin that a man doeth is without the body. That verse blew me away. Let me ask any of you something. Now, I don't want this to be a surprise to you, and I don't want you to say, well, we don't have a problem there. But has any of you ever sinned without your physical body? Anybody ever done that? I had a person one time tell me, yes, they did. You know, there's overt sins, outward sins, and there's inward sins, inwardly. And I guess that's what he was referring to. Every sin I ever committed was with my body. In case you guys hadn't figured it out by now, but is it your body that you sin with? Hey, Jane, you haven't lived a Puritan life. Have you? Before you got saved, did you use your body to sin with? Your physical body, right? Me too. Some of you... Is anybody here thinks that they can sin without their physical body? Do you know what? If I sin mentally, it's still with my physical body. Isn't that interesting? My thoughts include him. Especially fornication. So, you know, when I was reading this verse, I said, how can this verse say this? That every sin I've ever committed is without the body. It's crazy. And I couldn't figure out for the longest time until I found some verses here that started making sense. Did you notice that he started off with meat? Meat is for the what? Belly. A stomach. Then he says, and the stomach was designed for the what? Meat. Why? They have need of each other. Right? How would you like to eat a piece of meat and have no stomach? That would be very hard to digest, would it not? Unless you have a straight tube. You have to imagine that one. But the meat serves the purpose of the body, and the body has something in it that serves a purpose for the meat. It's called stomach, right? Well, I want you to notice what he says here. This is very interesting. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Now, notice what he says. He says that your physical body, listen, now is not a body, it becomes a member. Did you notice that? So what is he saying there? He's saying every body that's in the body of Christ becomes a member. He doesn't remain a body. He then becomes a member. How many are following me? So he switches from the fact that you're a physical body as an individual. Then he switches and says your body then becomes a member. Well, then, what would the member be a member of? I'll give you a hint. Christ? The what? Now say it real loud. The body of Christ. So your physical body has to become a member because we have what we call the body of Christ. We become a member of. How many understand that?
So if my body then becomes a member of the body of Christ, then that means that God is going to see to it that me as a member of the body of Christ will be free from sin. Because every sin that is committed apart from the body of Christ, it's because you are practicing sin on your own self, not the body of Christ, because He won't allow it. So if we become members of the body of Christ, guess who the head is? Can anybody tell me who the head is? Oh, and that means anything from the head down becomes a member of the body of Christ. And God will not allow the body of Christ to be associated with sin. What about homosexual priests? How can you rationalize that? Because if they're a part of the member, a member of the body of Christ, they're connected to us. So if we allow that member to function in the body of Christ with us, then that brings a reproach to we as a member of that body. Can I hear an amen? Well, if that's the case, then how can God allow sin to reign in the body of Christ? He can't. He's got to put a stop to it. Well, then how does He do it? Thank God, through the power of the new birth. The law of the life of the inward man. And now here's what you're accountable to God for. You are accountable to God for your spiritual growth. You're bought with that price. And when you were bought with that price, it wasn't anything that you earned. It wasn't anything that you did. All you did was receive it. And now God's going to hold you accountable throughout the rest of your Christian walk of what's going to be developed in you spiritually. So when you stand in the presence of God, the thing that God's going to be concerned about is not what you did through your soul. He's going to be concerned about what you did to your spiritual being. You know, there's an old saying, naked we come into this world, naked we go out. You have to understand the meaning of that. Naked, I came into this world, but I'm not going out of this world naked. I'm going to have an abundance that I have obtained to by inheritance, so that when I stand before God, I want my soul to literally be totally one with what I am spiritually. Because that's what's going to determine your reward system. I am thoroughly convinced that if you put yourself first here, you will be last there. Because most of the time, the people that put themselves first here are the ones who are more fleshly minded, more carnal than those that are spiritual. Because the more spiritual you become, the less you're interested in the things of this world, the more you are interested in eternal life. Now, it's scarier because once I found this new birth, a revelation of this being born again, it was about 5 years ago. I listened to it on the tape, and the whole Bible just downloaded in its understanding to me as never before. And up until that time, I never realized how much God's Bible, the Bible, could live and exist in my natural understanding without having any spiritual indication whatsoever. It freed me up with so much sin that I couldn't believe it. The fear of falling again. I have such confidence now that the only way that I would ever go back into sin is if I got hit in the head to where my physical brain went wacko and couldn't think right, but my spirit would still be free because God would hold me only accountable up to that what that damage was done. Are you following me? Now, does it mean what if up until that damage I hadn't come to the fullness of the understanding of God? God, because He determines the heart. He knows if my heart was in the right direction, He knows then that I would enter into the fullness. He would give me as much reward for the fullness as if I lived it out rather than the damage that I would incur. That's why some Christians that started out in the natural, their physical brain began to deteriorate or dysfunction. They ended up in Western state. Are you following me? I've known Christians done. I believe that when they depart from that physical body, their mind will clear up because their soul is no longer encased in that which is flesh. Are you following me? And so when they get away from that, they can think and function right. You know, that as long as your soul is housed in that which is physical, you'll only understand sensual things. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because what we see is through the sensual brain. But what we come to revelation of is the spiritual mind. That's why when I discovered that the Holy Ghost is not the one that causes me to grow. He's not the one that searches out the heart of God for me. It's my spirit that has to search out the heart of God so that the Holy Ghost has something to enlighten me with. See, that was such a revelation to me. I said, my God and Lord, I kept putting out on the Holy Ghost. And finally God said, notice it says he searches out the deep things of God. Well, the Holy Ghost doesn't search out the deep things of God because the Holy Ghost is the mind of God.
Right.
They're one in essence. Well, everything that the Father knows, the Holy Ghost knows. He doesn't know anything any less. And anything that the Holy Ghost knows, the Son knows, he doesn't know anything any less. So how are you going to say that there's a diminishing of the understanding of the Holy Ghost towards the body of Christ so that the Holy Ghost has to search out the deep things of God? Listen, if you don't know how to understand the deep things of God to begin with, your soul isn't going to discover them. That's for sure. So he had to be referring to the born-again spirit there. Thank God I understand the original language enough to know that I can put a capital S or a small s according to the mind of Scripture rather than the mind of some man. And they put a capital S on that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I can put a small s there. I have just as much right to do it as they do. Matter of fact, I talked to a Greek genius, quote, quote. And he told me, yes, you do. And in light of the text, he says, but that throws my thinking way off. Well, of course it does. Anything of God throws any human thinking off. That's why it says a spiritual mind cannot be comprehended by that which is natural. The natural mind, psychikos, is sensual. Are you guys getting something here? Now, notice what he says. For you are bought with a price. Glorify then God in the body of you. He didn't have something to say about your spirit. Why? Because later on he capitalized on the issue of your spirit. Not later on, but previously. Your spirit, listen, is a part of you that God works with apart from your natural man. Now, what about this glory? Well, we're going to get deeper into it because we're going to leave here. And next Sunday morning, we're going into Romans 7 and Romans 8. And you are going to get such a clear distinction of what you are in Him. I'm believing that God's going to open your spiritual eyes. Because if you get this revelation, it'll set you just free as it did me. I know how to search out the deep things. Notice it didn't say, for the Spirit searches out the shallow things of God. It says it searches out the deep things of God. I know how now to how to surrender my spirit to search God out. Oh, I love it. You want to know why I love it? I love it. I love it. I love it because your intellect is dorky. It's weird. It's insane. It's crazy. And God has designed a way to keep your brain out of everything. It's about time the body of Christ quits going to the idiot for information. Who's the idiot? Myself. You know, it says that you are spiritual and not fleshly. Romans 8 says that. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you. Wait a minute. If you're spiritual, then what are you naturally? Your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Isn't that interesting? Well, how does that really set you free? Because anything God does on the inside of your spirit will dominate the outside of that, which is your body. Somebody said, I can't quit sinning. I know, because you haven't discovered what you are spiritually. When you discover what you are spiritually, then you have an edge now to get rid of the dominion of sin in your life. Did you guys get something here this morning? For we walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? It means sin shall have no dominion over my life. Well, why are you still doing what you're doing? I haven't obtained the strength to overcome that yet. Thank God for His grace and mercy, because it's giving me the necessary time to let the law of the inward man rule over the law of the outward man. It's freedom. The law of liberty? For we look into the law of liberty. James says, when a man is not letting the word that is implanted in him to deliver salvation to your soul, it said, then what you're doing to yourself is you're looking into the mirror and you're only seeing yourself from the natural birth rather than the spiritual birth, which is the law of liberty and freedom. Amen. Glory to God, I'm free. I'm so free. I tell you, I feel God moving all over and through me right now as I'm talking to you. I feel the anointing of God, because I'm born again and my soul is not in control. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I can't get that across. Sickness and disease, everything will come under the dominion of the mind of the Spirit over the mind of the flesh every time. Well, is it right for a Christian to go to a doctor? Absolutely, if that's where he's at. But he's eventually got to get to a place where he doesn't rely on the arm of the flesh, but the law of the inward man, which quickens the mortal body too. Oh, stand up, everybody. I don't know about you, but I had the anointing of God come on. I feel such a freedom. Don't you? Boy, you all look alive here this morning. I was preaching, got excited, and y'all went. You look like a bunch of camels chewing their cud. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, all things don't work together for good to those that are of God. Did you know that? All things don't work together for the good of them that are of God. It says, according to those that love God. That's when things begin to work together for our good. Well, if you understand Romans 8 and Romans 7, you'll understand why that statement was made. People, I'm going to tell you something. The church is in a transition. Thank God we're getting rid of old leadership and we're getting new leadership coming in. Because we got to go a step further than what we had in the past. It's a tough decision to make. It's been tough for me because my former mentors no longer can mentor me now. I have to make a transition into other mentors. Are you following me? I have to make a deeper transformation in the realm of the Holy Ghost. He has to become I have to become more dependent upon Him and that anointing than men now. Because there's a place you grow to where you get into this transitional thing. The church is in a transitional state. How do I know that? Because more Christians are unrest now than ever before. They don't know what church to belong to. They don't know who to listen to. They don't know what doctrine to receive or accept. They don't know what's ahead for the life. They don't know what direction that they need to go in. They don't know nothing about their children. And the church is in a transition. I believe the church now is going to foster some real spiritual giants. And we're going to get a greater level of understanding than we ever have before. Are you following me? Because as knowledge increases here, the knowledge will increase according to the kingdom of God. Are you following me? God's going to counter that mess. Some of the things my daughter was saying, they were saying at that school. I'm going to tell you something, people. That school is not the problem. Our churches are the problem. Our church, as far as spiritual mentality goes, They're at a very low level, and that's got to come up. And I think God's going to raise men up to bring the church to a higher standard of understanding the kingdom of God than what it's previously got. Amen? The sad part about it is, even in our church, we don't have that spiritual mentality in many of us. And we have a good Word of God. I'm confident of that. But it's still up to the individual how they hear it and how they apply it. And the further you go with God, the more your flesh is going to suffer, baby.